entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Good afternoon on this Saturday, February 5th, 2022. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're powered by RadioSt.Pete.com on the Tantalk family of stations and streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com and, of course, our affiliates on the Tantalk Sports Connection Radio Network. That's WTAN AM 1340, 106.1 FM. WZHR AM 1400, 104.3 FM, WDCF AM 1350, and 102.3 FM. And that's up in Clearwater, my main man. Ed on the controls, Joe Bedore on the controls at Radio St. Pete. And as I said, we're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill in the heart of Champa Bay. A little frigid today, so I moved the show again, back-to-back weeks inside. I'm showing my softness, you know, thought I was a tough Iowan in the weather down here, but I caved in again today. So, nice location, got a great show lined up. Of course, each and every week we provide you with a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And this week we've got a jam-packed 2 hours. We got Tom Ryan, he's the athletic director at Eckerd College. Randy Grimes, former Baylor Bear, and he was the... He was the offensive center for the Tampa Bay Bucks for 9 years, and we're going to talk about his new book coming out on February 8th, and Randy's also going to be calling in next week. He's going out to the Super Bowl for us. He's going to be our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection correspondent, and he's going to be providing us with information from Radio Row. He's out there, and that's a lot of fun talking to him about that. Of course, we'll have Ray Kennedy. Ray Kennedy will we'll break down where the Bucks go from here. You know, Ray Kennedy, Bucks Report, does a superb job, if I could speak this morning, superb job, and has a podcast, Cup of Ray, and he will take a look at the options. Everybody has, but on the Tantalk Radio Network, a lot of people don't listen to sports all the time, so we'll update them on anything that's happened this week in the world of sports. And, of course, a week from tomorrow is Super Bowl 56, and that's the L.A. Rams at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. And my, I'm going to call him an Iowa boy. He was born in Iowa. Joey Burrow, under center, and his dad Jamie and I did a lot of things in the late 90s with the Iowa Barnstormers and when he was coach at Ames High School in Iowa. And then we're also going to have, I mentioned to you, I got all these new toys. Here's one of them. I got all these new toys with this new equipment, and we're going to have Andy DeLay calling in from Austin. He's on the call for a race in Austin. Of course, Burning Rubber Radio. You can hear Burning Rubber Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. And he's going to call in about 12:45 and talk about the race that's taking place out in L.A. And it's quite unique. And as little as I know about auto racing, we'll let Andy DeLay, the pro, talk about that. Let's take a look at the college basketball action. This time of year, I do a two-minute sports update. It's on the Tantalk family stations, and it's on Radio St. Pete, and it's a lot of fun. 2 minutes each and every day. If you log on to Sunshine 96.7 FM or RadioSt.Pete.com, it's on about 8:10, 8:15, and then on it's about 7 o'clock on the 6 stations on Tantalk that I just outlined for you. However, this time of year, it is brutal getting content that people want to listen to. Think about it. Right now, we got the NBA. You've got the All-Star break, NHL. You've got the NFL. You've got some NBA action. Thank God for college basketball, men's and women's. And the savior for the next 10 days is going to be the 2022 Beijing Olympics. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that because on Monday, Brittany Bowe from Ocala. We're going to have a watch party down here. She's a speed skater. She's one of the favorites, and I'm going to tell a cool story about her that took place. She was the preeminent favorite in the 1,000 and the 1,500, but she is also going to be in the 500. And she actually relinquished for Aaron Jackson, her teammate, who also is from Ocala. There's seven. Actually, this is a hard number to believe. Seven Olympians from Florida in the Winter Olympics, and that's more than New York City, Chicago, and L.A. They have zero. So there's two from Ocala, Aaron Jackson, and she was the favorite in the 500. She's a tremendous athlete. Well, she went down and in the trials and wasn't going to make the Olympics. Brittany Bowe gave up her position in the 500 for Aaron Jackson to be able to participate. And I think it's just a cool story. But it goes even further. Talk about karma. She, in the opening ceremonies yesterday, Brittany Bowe, the gal that was supposed to walk in, she got COVID. So they asked Brittany if she would walk the flag in, and I'll tell you what, represent the U.S., and that's karma. She took care of her teammate, Aaron Jackson, and they took care of her, and that's a great story for us Floridians. And now that I've adopted this state, should have about 30,000 years ago. Anyway, let's go over the college basketball games, and then we're gonna talk to Tom Ryan, and I'm looking forward to that conversation as we develop a relationship with Eckerd College, the Tritons, and we're going to be talking to all of their sports teams over the next couple of months. Things that are insignificant, in my opinion, is the NFL Pro Bowl. It was touch football. Now it's just fun and games. It's non-existent. I don't even know why they have it. That's taking place. Great place to be this weekend is Vegas, if you like to party. You got the NHL All-Star Game. Again, it's a little more interesting. But those two things are taking place. I'd rather talk about college action. You got Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, the Big 12, arguably the toughest conference in the country. You've got Illinois, Indiana. That'll be a great game. It looks like five teams from the Big 10, five teams from the Big 12. ACC, believe it or not, is maybe two teams from the ACC make it to March Madness. SEC solid this year. Bruce Pearl and Auburn entrenched at number one. I know Bruce, he spent some years at Iowa. Auburn, Georgia, Texas, Iowa State. Let's see, at the local level, Memphis, Central Florida. Central Florida took it to USF the other night by 20. Gonzaga, of course, BYU. People think they play a soft schedule, but out west, we don't get to see them enough here on the East Coast. Wisconsin, Penn State. Penn State's there's not a given W in the Big Ten, and there never is. Michigan State and Rutgers. Florida Atlantic and Kansas Baylor. That's going to be another great epic contest. Florida Ole Miss. If you call, I'll be right with you. You and I should stay together. Take this love I long to give you. I'll be by your side forever. In Celeb Pro-Am in Pebble Beach, and we'll talk about that in a little on the T segment. But right now, let's talk a little Eckerd College Tritons, and I think he can talk about it a little bit. He's had a little bit of a stint there, and 38 years you have been in the Triton community, Tom Ryan, and I appreciate you coming down. You've evolved from a player that had success as a point guard, and then you were an assistant coach. You were a head coach for 23 years. And now you're the man calling the shots for the golf team, the swimmers. Did I see you have a sailing team, too?
Very good sailing team. Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
Very good sailing team. Yeah, we got some great sailing teams up there in the Midwest, too. But that's not an NCAA sanctioned sport, is it?
No, it's SESA is their governing body, and it's not NCAA, but there are a few teams in our league also that compete in it.
I thought that was pretty cool, and the fact that your student athletes and students in general, you're right on the water, man.
Yeah. Yep,
that's a tough sell for a coach out recruiting, isn't it?
No, sailing's been tremendous for years and years. We actually had someone in the Olympics this past Olympics, Laura Delman Weiss, competed there, and she was from our program, but Our location is awesome. I'll brag on everything, you know, because being in sunshine, right? But we do sit right on the water. The waterway goes from Gulf of Mexico into Tampa Bay, and we have a nice venue right off of our sailing center.
Okay, let's go back to where'd you go to high school, and then of course. For 38 years, we know where you've been.
Yeah. No, I'm family's from all up in Brooklyn, New York, but I was born in Punta Gorda, Florida, grew up in Fort Lauderdale, went to St. Thomas Aquinas High School, and came to Eckerd in 1983 thinking I was just going away for college for a few years, I started my 39th year this year, so.
Well, how many degrees do you think you'd have in 38 years if you would have kept your continuing ed?
Well, thank goodness I didn't have to keep going to school. So being at Eckerd has been a privilege and honor, and our league is outstanding. Like I said, I've enjoyed my time in St. Petersburg.
Famous Coach Ryan right here.
and that's Mark Ferguson, who introduced me to him. You guys have played a few hoops together in your day.
As a student, I met Ferg out on St. Pete Beach playing basketball, actually.
I have met more people. Oh, is that where they have the epic battles down on St. Pete Beach?
Used to be every Saturday and Sunday, yep.
Well, Jim Sweeney, you know Jim.
Jim was there too, yep.
Yeah, we talked about that. In fact, Jim Sweeney, folks, you've heard him here. He basically is the godfather of old dude basketball.
Old man hoops, yep.
Old man hoops in this region and at a national level, I would say.
Yep, he just played in the Clearwater tournament, Masters tournament last week,
and they won the
championship.
He got first place.
They sure did, yep.
And that's a year removed from him having heart issues.
Yeah, he had some issues, health issues, and thank goodness he's back playing. But I've been playing with Jim since my college days as well.
Yeah, he came on the show. He just returned from one of his European trips.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, the thing about those trips, and he and his wife, Moro, they come back and they give me the world geography lesson.
Sure.
So last night when I was watching the Olympics on these small countries.
Yep.
That are around, you know, borderline of Russia and that area. Mm-hmm. These are countries they've been talking to me about and how beautiful they are and sending me. Yeah. So my girlfriend and I are trying to figure out who in the heck is, where's this country? I said, I've heard it out of Jim Sweeney's mouth.
Yeah.
So he's traveled the entire world. You guys played down there on a consistent basis. And that, back in the day, was infamous for major hoops.
Yeah, no. For sure, it's really good. I've been internationally with Jim to Costa Rica. I've been to Finland. I've been to Italy with Jim playing in those tournaments, those FIBA tournaments all over the world. He goes everywhere, though.
I told him I'd carry his bags the next trip he makes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go. So St. Thomas Aquinas, which is if you know anything about high school sports, is a powerhouse in the state of Florida.
Very good.
And on the national scene as well.
Yeah, it is. It's grown. When they got rid of me, they started becoming more athletic and started winning some games. But they're very good in all sports and just a great school overall. Amazing how it's grown over the years.
Okay, so when you came to play basketball, they have only had two coaches? Well, three now.
Three now.
In the history of the school.
Correct.
When school was founded in the 60s?
58.
58?
Yep.
Okay, so you come and you play point guard, and you guys had a nice run.
We had good seasons. Like I said, the league was a lot smaller than it is now. It's added a number of schools. Barry University. We have 11 schools now.
And it's the Sunshine State Conference.
Correct. Sunshine State Conference. All the schools are in the state of Florida, all the way down from Miami up to Daytona, and then all the way over here to the Tampa Bay area. But there's 11 schools now in our league.
All Division II, and I see that football isn't one of the sports.
No.
And from an economic perspective, as an athletic director, you probably... You love it. You know, it's like Drake University, as I said. I had a relationship with them for years. And they're D1 and everything but football.
Yeah.
And, in fact, they play the Stetsons of the world. It's a non-scholarship Division I football.
Yeah.
But the cost of it is enormous.
Oh, yeah. We've had schools like University of Tampa used to have a great football team.
That's what I heard,
years
guys.
Years ago. Florida Tech, most recently over in Melbourne, had a football program. I think they dropped it a couple years ago, but they added it. To help, obviously, with enrollment, it was a non-scholarship to start off with, but then, you know, start giving scholarships, and then also the coaching staff is a big coaching staff, so it's a very expensive undertaking.
So that allows you, and you've become a basketball school and a baseball school.
Always been a baseball school.
Baseball school, and arguably, and for obvious reasons, some of the best baseball in Division II in America. Is that correct?
Sure. Sunshine State Conference has been. I mean, Tampa's won a number of national championships. So has Florida Southern. And then Nova University's got a national championship. We've historically very, very good Division II baseball.
So recruiting is probably not an issue because, you know, in the Midwest, a lot of schools, even Division I, Iowa State is an example. I knew the AD very well. They had to drop baseball.
Yeah.
And because, you know, from a competitive perspective, yeah, playing, you know, the teams out west and the teams in the southwest and the southeast, yeah, brutal. Yeah. Do you have to recruit out of state?
No, in and out of state both. But obviously selling to the areas you just said, kids can come down here and play baseball year-round. And our league, from top to bottom, all sports, we have a number, you know, you say Division I, Division II, but we have Division I athletes all across our conference in all sports. And obviously selling Florida and selling the weather, especially for the outdoor sports, you know, you can play year-round here.
Okay, so you graduate in 87.
Yep.
Did you become an assistant coach immediately under Coach Harley?
Yeah, there was an assistant coach there, Dale Lair, who went on to do coach at Division II and Division I.
Same age, basically, as the guys you were coaching.
Yeah, it was pretty much. I came right out. Some of my teammates were on it, but I did everything that first year just to stay involved. I ran in murals. I painted the gym. You name it, I did it. So,
were you single then?
I was single then. So yeah.
So you could afford it.
Plenty of time.
You're having fun.
Oh, I was eating a lot of pasta and ramen noodles. So you know, but it was great experience, and it gave me a chance to see if it's what I wanted to do in the future. And obviously, I got the bug, and I couldn't get rid of it then.
Okay, so you're an assistant for Coach Harley. For how many years were you an assistant?
9 years.
I should be able to do the math when,
yeah,
I'm from Iowa. Okay, so 9 years,
yep,
and then he turned over the keys to the program to you,
yep,
and that was a 23-year
yep,
run. And how much fun did they have? I mean, you were a three-time conference coach of the year.
Yep.
You guys made it to the Elite Eight.
Yep.
Sweet 16 several times.
Correct.
And I know it's tough to do, but name one of your favorite teams. When I interview coaches a lot of times, it might be a team that didn't have the most talent,
yeah,
but you just loved, you know, their passion and their accomplishments. Do you have one or,
yeah,
two teams that really, really stand out like that?
There was a couple, and it's not always, like you said, it's not always the team that wins the most. But the Elite
Eight. It's the chemistry.
Yeah, it's the chemistry and the people you're around, but there was a number of them. But the Elite Eight team was a very special group, obviously, and that's why
talent-wise, yeah,
that's why they excelled. And personality-wise, the way they got along on and off the field, the kind of student-athletes they were on our campus. So that was probably my most special team, and not being able to separate, you know, making that journey as well. But we had a number of them, so it's hard to separate. Someone said, who's your favorite athletes? Who's your favorite team? That's hard. I've been fortunate, and you said it, I've been fortunate to be in it that long, and you know, you work so hard to with those relationships. I've just been blessed, and I still carry on those relationships now. So,
well, you were a relatively young man. You've been playing basketball all your life. You probably still participated in a few of the drills and,
yeah,
and pickup games.
Well, once in a while we'd get in. There was a point where the coaches used to play the freshmen during winter term because they don't have to take class during our winter term, and we'd play them, and we'd beat them every year, and they'd all laugh at each other and stuff.
Bridges off of them.
We beat the students. And then I got to a point where I could see I wasn't gonna continue to win, and that's when I stopped. When I stopped playing.
Yeah,
I stepped out of all the drills and all the activities. I let the younger assistant coaches do that. But yeah, that is a fun part of being around them—the camaraderie that goes on in the locker room and on travel. So,
well, I asked you about you know, the Elite Eight, and then of course the Final Four. And in the past, it was in Massachusetts. And was there a tie to the College Hall of Fame or something?
Was it
Springfield, Mass?
Springfield, Mass.
Yeah.
I served on the committee 1 year, and we it was the last year in Springfield, Mass. And now they do a rotation where they go, you know, 2 or 3 year stint each place. But when it was in Springfield, yes, they took all the student athletes that came to the tournament to the Hall of Fame and did a little tour of
very
that as
cool.
Well, yeah, very cool. I mean, where it all started. So,
well, and for some reason, and I understand, my son played in an NAIA national championship, mm-hmm, and they played in Rome, Georgia.
Sure,
Rome became, you know, the hub.
Yep.
And then they changed it after he played in the national championship game, and I loved that history and the community of Rome nestled, mm-hmm, you, yeah, know, in the Smokies there, embraced it.
Yeah.
And Springfield did the same thing with the D2 championships. I'm certain.
Sure did.
And then you move it around. I mean, they played NAIA was in Grambling. Daytona, God, that was a great spot.
Yeah.
And then this past year, they went back to, they went up north. And I just like to see that consistency, but I'm old school.
Yeah, no, it is fun because you get, when you have it in one place for a number of years, they kind of know how they should run it and know what works and what doesn't work. That's why I think they go with the three-year rotation now, just so that someone doesn't get it for a year and then have to start over. Division I can do that because of all the money that's poured in, but Division II, Division III, NAI, they need a little more consistency. I think they do it for multiple year cycles.
Exactly. All right, well, we've talked about the success of the basketball program. What are we looking like this year? I'm saying we because I told you I'm adopting you guys like
right.
I adopted Drake University. What's the team looking like in 2022?
They're more than halfway through their conference season. Our women's basketball team is ranked 16th in the country.
Beautiful.
The men's basketball team competes in a very tough conference, and they're young. They only have one senior on the team, so they're taking some lumps right now, but compete every night. We have a game this afternoon. Women play at 2 on campus against Palm Beach Atlantic, and the men play at 4 o'clock today. So looking forward to go back and watching them compete again today.
All right. Well, I'll get out to a game. And looking forward to men's and women's games. Yeah. They play the same days?
Back-to-back.
Perfect.
On Wednesdays, 5:30, 7:30. On Saturdays, 2 and 4.
That's ideal. And who are the head coaches now of the respective the women's
so
and the men's?
The women's coach is Paul Hunsinger. He's a grad of Eckerd College. He was my first point guard when I took over as head coach. And Brian Golusky is the men's coach. He also is a grad of Eckerd College.
Jeez,
and he,
I love it.
They were running
rich
mates.
Rich in tradition.
They were running mates when they were in college. They were both my point guard and two guard when I was my first 2 years.
And there's something to be said about programs. It doesn't matter what level. And you know this, that are rich in tradition.
Yep.
And it sounds like the Tritons are rich in tradition. You look at the transition that Duke's going to do with Krzyzewski. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the evolution of someone that's been there. And I think you could even do it more in the professional ranks from a consistency perspective.
Yep.
And I applaud you for that.
Yeah.
Was it the athletic director or Jim Harley suggesting to keep you on at that time?
I think the AD suggested to keep me on, but they did a national search and they had three finalists.
So there's no nepotism because you're all family now.
Yeah.
They do a search.
We do searches, yes, we do searches. And obviously Eckerd, you hit on it, you know, Eckerd being a special place. If you're from there, you have an advantage because you know how it works. But that's not been the case in all sports. I mean, right now we do have a number of alums. Our baseball coach, Josh Beauregard, who's doing an outstanding job, he's an alum. Our tennis coach, Ben Maxwell, played there. Our new sailing coach that just started this year went to Eckerd and sailed at Eckerd. So there is some there, but then the other sports all have people that have applied and come from outside.
Okay, so you hang up walking up down the sidelines for 23 years, well, longer than that, obviously, 32 and 36 years if you figure your playing career. So 36 years, and then you go into the administrative world. And in the administrative world, you know, fundraising is a big thing, kissing babies, shaking hands, being involved and realizing, even though your passion, your love is the game of basketball, you have to be equitable with your energy and focus. And is everybody has their needs, and they all want the same kind of support and energy from the athletic director.
Sure.
So talk about that transition, because you've done some superb things in that realm too.
Well, that's one of the biggest things. It was a tough decision to get out, and I wish I was still coaching some days, but I had hoped that, you know, Eckerd's my place. It's more than half my year. My years, I love it. I thought I could help all the programs, you know, develop into champions, and it's going well. We just finished renovations for our MacArthur Center, which is our arena where our men's, women's basketball and volleyball play, and those renovations were just completed right before Christmas this year. We're doing some things out at the Turley Complex, which is our baseball and outdoors, baseball, softball, soccer, tennis. We just added a locker room out there for our softball team, which they were sharing for a while. So it's going in the right direction. Obviously, you talked about fundraising. You can never have enough because there's always something somebody else wants done. But right now, it's going in the right direction, and we're working on some a new training facility out at Turley Complex that all the sports can use as well.
You're listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill on a bit of a cool day. Nothing like last weekend. And we were blessed with some 80s this week. But I moved inside like a wimp, as I said. And we're fortunate to have this position. We're talking Triton. Am I right?
Triton.
I don't want to butcher it. Now, tell the audience what a Triton is, because we had fun with it last week when one of your former players was
former baseball player Jimmy Vigue.
We had fun when he told me it was a male mermaid. I'm like, dude, this is done.
Well, I heard everything. So when we were in school, Eckerd College, you know, they talked about the drugstore. So everybody said, "Are we going to be pharmacists?" So that was the
joke. That was the famous drug.
Sure.
It was like the wall drug out in South Dakota.
Yep. Before CVS, it was Eckerd drugstore. So that was the joke back then. But we're the Tritons, and it's a King Triton. So you know you watch Son of Poseidon and Neptune and all that, but King Triton, and people say a male mermaid. It's not. It's King Triton. That's what we go by.
Well, it's perfect, and it applies for your location, obviously.
Sure.
Founded in 1958, and we're having a conversation about their entire athletic department. Let's touch one more topic on basketball, one of the things you've done, and then we'll cover the other sports. This Thanksgiving tournament.
Yeah.
And it caught my eye back in November, because I do a 2-minute sports update, and I pulled it out of the New York Post, you know.
Yeah.
And they have all the games, and I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, Fort Myers, I knew about that one. Maui, got it. And then I see St. Pete.
Mm-hmm.
What's that? So let's talk about that. And that is the
Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's. I should remember that being Mike. Yeah, Jersey Mike's, the sub guys.
Yep.
So
they
talk
came
about
to,
that.
They came to us. They had a tournament down in Jamaica forever, and they're going back there next year, but they needed to find a place to have it this year, and they came to us. They approached it for the week before Thanksgiving. So the Jersey Mike Classic was in our gym. We had six Division I basketball men's teams, and they competed for 3 days. It was a very successful event. It was on CBS Sports, so it was nationally televised, and we got lots of publicity, lots of calls, and they want to come back again next year. They're probably going to move it into December 14th through 18th in that neighborhood. But it was a great tournament. We then piggybacked on that. We had the St. Pete Showcase, which was a Division I women's tournament that came the Thanksgiving week, had Florida State, had BYU in it.
Next year we will be at these things.
West Virginia. So I mean, outstanding.
Who did you have on the men's side?
You're gonna put me on the spot. Wisconsin Green Bay was there.
Knew that.
Had
a kid that my son played with that played there.
UMass was there.
Okay.
That's
where Calipari got his start. I think
that's where he got his start. Now a Florida boys coaching there, a kid who started at University of Florida, was at FAU, and has bounced around. Now he's up there at UMass doing a nice job. Coach McCall.
Did you have Davidson?
Davidson was not there this year. We've had other tournaments with Liberty and other schools like that, but we had six schools this year. Ball State was there.
Gotcha. Good to have a little MAC representation.
That's right. No,
and they love coming down from Ohio.
Everybody loved it. I mean, they just really – the atmosphere, the weather, obviously, you know, it was great. You know, we're coming off COVID, so the fans that we allowed in attendance wasn't as big as we would, but hopefully next year going forward, we won't have any restrictions on attendance policy. So,
well, we need to promote the heck out of it next year across the area, because basketball junkies, they don't care if their team's not in. If they get an opportunity to go watch some good D1 basketball in a nice venue, and I'm sure at a reasonable price.
Yep. Oh, no, for sure.
No, that's a great deal.
They did a good job of promoting it, and they had different packages for the teams, the fans coming down from up north, and then they were doing stuff locally with some of the local high schools. They had the ball boys, ball girls that were coming and supporting from the high schools and stuff like that. So we're going to try to do that bigger next year.
Get embedded in the community. Very cool.
Yep.
Very cool. Okay, so now let's... You pick the sports. So we start with women's basketball?
Yeah, we have 14 total sports.
Okay.
We have 14 total sports. You talked about the sailing. We have both co-ed sailing and women's sailing.
I think I could have dug the co-ed sailing deal.
I tell you what, in Florida it's not bad at all. You're out on the water.
I had other intentions, but anyway.
Well, we had
sick old man.
We had a co-ed sailing. We have women's sailing. We have men's and women's soccer. We have both indoor and beach women's volleyball. We have men's and women's basketball. We have baseball, softball, men's and women's tennis, and men's and women's golf, which you know our golf coach is a friend of yours. So,
well, I don't know about friend, but I won't mind being his friend. He's a character. Bill, what's Bill's last name?
Bill Butner, Coach Bill Butner.
Yeah, I did a stint as a kart jockey at St. Pete Country Club, as I told you.
Yep.
And that was a couple years ago. And the Eckerd kids were out there all the time, the boys and the girls. And then I realized that Bill is just a pro there working.
Yep.
That he told me a lot of stories about North Carolina. in North Carolina basketball.
He did. He's a Tar Heel, and we make fun of him a lot of times about that. But I'm a Tar Heel basketball fan, so I can't make fun of that side of him. But there's a lot of other things that I can pick on him for.
Well, so you've got baseball, and they start baseball already?
Yeah, baseball and softball.
I know they do. They're doing it at the high school level. I don't know if there's competition yet.
Our baseball team left for Georgia yesterday. They play a doubleheader today and a single game tomorrow. And our softball team is actually they're underway right now. They started at noon today in a doubleheader, and they have another doubleheader tomorrow.
And softball?
So that's softball.
Oh, yep. I'm sorry, that's softball.
Yep.
Tell you what, when I first got into the sports world, I didn't really embrace the women's sports. Like, I made a mistake, and I heard a lot about it. I love women's fast pitch softball. Yeah. That's intense.
It is. Our coach is a St. Pete girl, but she played out at Hawaii, and she was a home run leader for many of her years out there, and catcher out there, and she's our head coach. She does it. She's doing.
She likes being around that water.
Yeah, she. Well, she said that's what she said the other day. We had a nice forum, a women in sports forum on Wednesday, and she got up and talked, and she said she's home. You know, this is back where she grew up, and being around the water and Tampa Bay is just a homecoming for her.
Okay, so how many women's sports and how many men's? Was that, did I see there was seven to five?
It's more women's sports. Yep. You know, it is. It's actually. So you have women's soccer, you have women's volleyball, you have women's beach volleyball, you have women's basketball, you have women's golf, you have women's tennis, you have women's softball, you have women's sailing. So yeah, it's 8 and 6.
Okay, 8 and 6. Now, if you take a look, folks, at Eckerd College, it is an institution of higher learning. And in many cases, this is just reality, it's difficult to... Because some of these kids haven't had the opportunity at their high school. They don't have the family support, and they may not have the GPA to get in. Mm-hmm. But if they have a high enough ACT, but you see circumstances, is there a possibility of them getting in at an Eckerd College?
Sure. Right now the test scores are optionals now. Since COVID hit, they've kind of, because it was hard taking the test, getting out to take the test, so they made test scores optionals. But Eckerd's standards are fairly high, but they do look at all situations, you know, with kids sick or family situations. Academically, the college is our academic success rate, which the NCAA rates. We've been in the top 10 in the country for the last 11 years, so it rates really high with that and with graduation rate. Our student-athlete GPA is around a 3.3, so it's a pretty strong school.
Yeah, you would have been kicking me to the curb. I came in with a solid high ACT, and I did okay going to a private school. But when I got to the college world, all bets off.
Well,
I just maintained a great point average, knowing I was going to be a businessman to compete in football and track.
Right.
Sad. I made certain my children didn't have that same philosophy.
Well, it's like you said though. The nice thing about small schools. Student teacher ratio is 12 to 1. Class sizes are, you know, average class size is 20. So you have a better chance for success when you're not just a number. So that's where we've kind of hung our hat as far as supporting the student athletes. But we've got, like, you know, when you go to any school, you got students of all academic backgrounds, and Eckerd's done a good job of finding ways to help them with success.
A superb job, it sounds like. Okay, so I will say this from a fundraising perspective. Schools of higher learning, this is just a reality. You're going to have a lot of success. There's some Hawkeye fans walking in. I got to throw out a hello to, they're having a Hawkeye get-together in the back. You'll hear too much Iowa with me around. But anyway, schools at that level, from a fundraising perspective, to see their athletic program, just a reality of the human spirit, they want to be proud of their Tritons.
Yep.
And when they see athletic success, they write bigger checks.
Sure.
And that's just the reality of life. So you're in a good position from that perspective.
Sure.
And what is the, is it liberal arts?
Yep, the big, liberal arts the school, focus? Nationally ranked liberal arts school. Yep.
Well, I have a cousin that just graduated from there this past year, and she is actually, she was in your film program.
Oh, yeah.
And she now has an internship, and she went out to L.A., and Diana Blecker was her name, and she just absolutely loved it down there. And that's when I got wind of, I was really that familiar with, and a friend of mine who is, you may have ran into Sam Burnaby. Mm-hmm. Sam Burnaby is the president and is part owner of the Iowa Cubs AAA, and his son Nick Burnaby went to Eckerd. Okay. He probably graduated. Now he's the assistant GM for the AAA team in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
And he's a Triton, too.
Okay.
All right, so juggling the men's and the women's programs for you, again, you know, the equal amount of energy you put into them.
Sure.
Has that been... That was kind of a learning process,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Well, getting out of coaching and getting into the administrative side and making sure... Like,
you try to make it to a lot of the games and the events?
I try to see all of them. And like we saw the baseball team off yesterday. I'll watch them on... They'll be streamed. Their game will be streamed today. I'll see men's, women's basketball and softball. I try to get out to all of them. Being a Triton and being there for so long, I don't get the coaching anymore. So now these are all the teams are my teams, and working with the coaches and working with the players, that's what gives you your kind of joy and your adrenaline. But yeah, I love watching them. And in normal, like if I was just going out and turning on TV channels, I might not watch some of the sports, but I'll go watch every one of our teams play, including sailing. I love watching. I've been to some national tournaments for sailing as well. So our women's team, you asked about our women's team earlier. You know, they've done the last 4 years, they've been on a run, winning conference championships and going to national tournaments. The last time before COVID shut everything down, they were actually at the national tournament up in Tennessee, and they were getting ready to play, and everything got shut down at that point. So in my mind, even though we didn't compete last year, some of the schools did, in my mind, were the reigning tournament champs, because that's the last time we played. Same thing with baseball. Last time we had a season, our baseball team won the conference championship.
Well, some of the best baseball, I was told, in America, at the Division II level. Any players that have advanced to MLB, you know how sports fans listen out there.
We have a number, and I don't have a list sitting in front of me, but the ones that you would recognize probably is Steve Balboni. He just got in our Hall of Fame last year.
Really?
Yeah, and Joe LaFay, he's getting on our Hall of Fame this year. They both played multiple years in the major leags. Bill Livesey was our
coach. Did they graduate?
From Eckerd, correct.
From Eckerd.
Yep, that's correct. Yep.
That's impressive.
And, Bill Livesey was our coach for a long time, and then he was with the Yankees for a very long time. Bill Evers Sr., is just retired from the Minnesota Twins, but he was the Rays minor league coach from every level going up, and he won championships at every level. He was a catcher at Eckerd College. So we've got a long tradition in the baseball world of baseball programs putting out people in the minor leagues and into the major leagues.
Advancing people that are successful, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Professionally, I mean, in the world of sports, and more important, in the game of life, you guys sound like you got it going on.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about golf, and then I want to talk about scholarships. Men's and women's golf. I mean, they don't have to travel. Teams from up north want to travel down here to play.
That's it. Well, we have, and Coach Butner does a good job. We have about five different courses that the kids can practice on during the week, and then
really? I didn't know. I thought it was just St. Pete.
No, they're at St. Pete. They've been at it used to be called Buffalo Creek down over the bridge. They go to Bayou Club. They play at Pasadena.
Oh, and they play at Pasadena too.
Yeah, and they play at the Vinoy Sum as well. So yeah, they've got it good. So he's starting.
They've got it great.
Yeah, he's starting to use that as a recruiting tool, because like with other sports, the weather down here, and they can come from anywhere and be able to play all year round.
Now, is there money for those sports? Because typically, let's say the Division I level, those sports have, as you're well aware of, minimal budgets.
Yeah.
How is it in Division II, and how is it
at Eckerd? It's similar. Right now, because we started scholarshiping about 19 years ago, because before that we kind of operated on Division III principle, but we started scholarshiping, and now we've got
grants.
And aids and academics and need-based. Now we're to a point where we're almost through all of our sports, but we're now getting to women's golf, men's tennis. Then we have to do men's golf, women's tennis, finish them off, and then beach volleyball. We have that. You can't scholarship in sailing, so that's just that's a CESA rule. They're not NCAA. They don't have scholarshiping, so they're always will be on the Division III principle, which is grants and aid. But women's golf right now has been scholarshiping for a couple years, and their roster is starting to build, and then next will be the men's golf team.
Yeah, and I had those conversations with Bill and some of the players out there, and they said, well, it looks like down the road.
But it's next 2 years to 4 years.
But at the same time, the opportunity, like you said, to practice on those incredible tracks, and those are great tracks, and four of them are country clubs, folks, that schlub like me, a hack like me, is not getting on. And so that's impressive.
Yep.
And shouldn't have any. Well, I met several kids from all over the country that were on the golf team.
Sure, sure. The women's team has four players, and they're from outside of the U.S. So we got some international flavor too, as well, on those teams.
And they typically come across the pond in any sport. And you know they're a superb athlete in their own right,
yep.
And they just want to get to America and
they
showcase
their
talents.
Clubs. You know, the other countries have clubs on all for all their
yep.
sports. They have clubs, so
track
they
clubs, soccer
golf
clubs
for sure.
Yeah,
and so we talked about internationals. Our women's basketball team is of their team is probably 70% international. He's got a number of, and he's kind of found that niche because he was doing it as an assistant coach up at St. Rose, and now when he came here, he's brought that same flavor here.
Okay, now, I can't remember NCAA Division II, when my son played golf at Rockhurst. Are there several divisions of D2 like there is in NAIA? It's just across the country.
No, for NCAA.
That's good. I mean, I like to hear that.
For NCAA.
Because it's confusing NAIA.
I know, yes. Now, NAIA, if I'm not mistaken, it used to be D1 NAIA and D2 NAIA, and I think they're, at least in basketball, they're merging them. I don't know if they're merging them in every sport.
They haven't merged them yet in football.
Yeah.
And so when you say you won a national championship, but it's kind of, and you'd know this, there's very few NAIA schools in Florida.
Yeah, no. There's,
why
there's,
is that?
There's a league. The Sun, I think it's called the Sun Conference. My old assistant is now down at Kaiser University, which used to be Northwood, where Raleigh Massimino started. But there's a league in here. There's I think they have 10 teams in their league now,
okay.
Starting in Miami and going all the way up to, I guess, Babson Park, Weber, and Warner Southern right there.
Well, they've got to have some exceptional athletes.
Yep. It's, again, in Florida, you think about who's in Florida. You got the big ones. You got the power Division I schools.
Yep.
You got our Division II school, and then you got the NAI League. There's no Division III league like across the country where they're in every other state where they can be recruiting as well. So a lot of those D3s come down here to recruit because they know there's a limited number of colleges and universities here in the state of Florida.
Well, and Florida State and Miami are finding out right
UCF,
now that they're going to have to do a better job of raising the bar on their football program,
sure.
Because in recruiting this year, they were 19, 20, and 15.
Yeah.
And I've been going out to some of the high school football here for the first time,
yeah.
And it blows me away,
yeah.
The talent.
It's great.
And you went to a powerful school,
yep.
In football.
Yeah. Well, it used to be those schools you just mentioned were 1, 2, and 3, or 1
and
top
recruiting.
Five in recruiting, yeah.
In their backyard.
Yep.
And now the other boy, Texas A&M, of course, Jimbo did a job. Mark Ferguson, Florida State fanatic, doesn't like to hear that. But Jimbo Fisher... had the top-ranked recruiting class in at Texas A&M this year.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure he was in Florida a lot.
Yeah. Talk about money. That school has plenty of money.
All right, my friend. So I'm looking forward to we're going to have hopefully weekly conversations.
Absolutely.
Bring the kid. We got 14 weeks to fill.
That's
Bring him down. And we want the sailors, too, you know.
Oh, no. We'll get them all.
I want to give them all love. We want to be the first guys that ever interview all of the – Oh, here comes Mark Ferguson. I think he's going to chime in again.
I thought he was bringing me some food.
No, you got to pay for that, my man.
How you doing, bud?
Good, bud. How are you?
You got to pay for food.
I know. He makes me pay for everything.
Hey, Mr. Ferguson, grab that new shirt I got you.
Wow.
And turn it around.
Virtual.
That's Mark Ferguson. He rarely comes on, but now I have these new mics. So you can hear him.
That's nice.
At least you can't see him.
So he has a face for radio.
He has a face for radio. That's why he likes me, I think.
That's it.
We both got faces for radio.
Come in when you're done.
Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate you coming down.
Thank you.
I'm looking forward to this relationship. You guys are my adopted college.
We'll get you
you need
shirt.
More. You need more love, though. And I mean that in sincerity.
Yeah.
You got great athletic programs and your Division II. That's not chump change by any stretch of the imagination. But you don't see anything in the local. And I'm not bashing anybody.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I did up north in Iowa, is made sure we get the D3s, the D2s, the NIAs, the JUCOs.
Sure.
They all got some love.
Yep.
And because those kids are working just as hard as the D1 guys.
I would encourage anybody, because I get it all the time. They walk onto our campus, they said, I didn't even know this was here. And they've been in St. Petersburg for 20 years. And then you see a contest. The gentleman who just was behind me here, Jeff Goodis, is a lawyer here in town. And he came in, and he and his wife are big basketball fans. And they said they couldn't believe the level of talent there was. So I encourage anybody to get out no matter what sport you like, come out and watch the Tritons compete, because our Sunshine State Conference is the real deal, and I think you'll really enjoy it.
He's Tom Ryan, the athletic director at Eckerd College. You're going to be hearing conversations with the coaches, with the Triton coaches, the men's and the women's, over the next few months, and we'll continue the relationship. How do people find you on the web?
EckerdTritons.com. That's the website. You can get on. We have all of our schedules in there. Our Sunshine State Conference Digital Network televises almost all of our contests. So, but go to EckerdTritons.com.
All right. Thank you very much, my friend. Have a great weekend. And you already had something to eat. Otherwise, you could go hit Ferg up.
Thanks.
And then next time you come on, I'm going to have you tell some Ferg stories.
We can tell Ferg stories for sure. I got lots of them.
I've already heard this, that he doesn't keep score very well in basketball.
Horrible.
He hacks everybody. They call it getting Ferged.
Yes. You don't want to get Ferged.
Yeah. And actually, Jim Sweeney in his book calls it, you know.
Yeah.
Mark Ferguson, great businessman, great guy. Yeah. You don't want to play basketball with him.
He can shoot it, though. He can shoot the ball.
I've heard he can shoot the rock. All right. Have a great weekend, man.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate
all right.
you, buddy.
Tom Ryan, thank you very much for coming on. And now I'm going to... Now, I tell you what, this 21st century technology in my hands is very, very dangerous. As I attempt to have a conversation, as I mentioned, we're going to talk to Andy DeLay. And Andy is, I don't know if he is doing it remote or if he is actually... Andy DeLay?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing superb, buddy. And you've heard him on RadioSt.Pete.com. That's Andy DeLay with Burning Rubber Radio. Now, explain to our audience. This is my first test, buddy, with the new equipment. So how do I sound? Besides, I know I sound horribly, but how is the...
Yeah, you sound good, man. You sound all right. Everything's clear.
Don't ever say I sound good. Just say it's clear. The people in the audience know better. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what you're doing today. Now, you're on the call of a race in Austin, Texas?
I am. I call the Hoosier Racing Tire SCCA Super Tour. This week, we are at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas, and I'm on that race call.
Now, are you doing that from your studio up in Clearwater?
No, I'm out here on site and talking to you right now in the media center out at the Circuit of the Americas.
You're in Austin?
Yeah.
How's the weather, brother?
Cold. It's 30 degrees right now.
In Austin, Texas?
Yeah, believe it or
holy
not.
Hell, you probably don't even have a hoodie. I should have got you a Ferg's hoodie to wear down there.
Yeah, I tell you what, the heater in the car works, I can tell you that.
All right. So let's talk about this race down there and what you're doing, and then we'll migrate to what's happening in L.A. and then the rest of the month, and then we're going to obviously have you down here to talk Daytona 500. So talk about the race that you're at today for the audience.
What we're doing today is the SCCA is the Sports Car Club of America. It's the largest amateur organization in the world. Over 50,000 racers belong to the SCCA. And Hoosier Racing Tire sponsors a 10-race series that travels the United States. 2 weeks ago, we were in Sebring, Florida, and then, of course, we're at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin. Now, in 2 weeks, we'll be at Buttonwillow in California, and then on to Portland. So we get to travel all over the U.S.
Well, and I applaud you for that, and I bet it's an absolute blast.
It's a good time, you know. We've got to do that on top of our real-world job, so it kind of gets a little busy at times.
Okay, now let's talk about what in the heck, as I watch ESPN and Fox, explain what's going on in L.A. This weekend.
Okay, that is called the Busch Clash, or the Busch Light Clash, I guess.
Did
now.
You say crash? Because they say it's going to be a crash.
It's gonna
the Busch
be...
Crash?
Yeah, it's going to be one big crash, I'm sure. The Busch Clash is going to be held at the L.A. Coliseum in the Los Angeles, California, right near downtown. This is the first year it's ever been held somewhere else other than the Daytona International Speedway. And there's going to be a qualifying format here tomorrow. The guys are practicing today. The track, what's the big deal about it? Well, it's a football stadium.
Oh, yeah, some great games in there, some great history.
Oh yeah, Evel Knievel even jumped some cars in that thing.
He did.
So, yeah.
I thought he did that in Vegas, and I thought
he did that too.
Grand Canyon, and anyway, well, yeah, that's some real good history.
So, what they have done is they have paved a quarter mile oval inside of that. It's temporary. It's been put down on top of plastic, believe it or not, but it's asphalt.
Damn, that's a lot of work.
Yeah. So they got all this asphalt laid down and everything. They're going to hold the race on it. Then it'll be torn up and ready to go within 3 weeks after. It'll be right back to a football field. So that's the big deal about it. Now, they're going to be holding qualifying sessions, or I guess heat races, not qualifying. They call them qualifiers, to where they're going to have four heat races, and the two winners of each heat race is going to be in the main, or the regular run. So there'll be 16 drivers that run the Busch Clash, and there is no points involved in this. This is a exhibition race, I guess you should say, because if they wreck out of it, no harm, no foul, just a big fight.
Well, big fight. Well, maybe they'll need that for entertainment purposes. Okay, so explain. And you have before on the show, in case people hadn't listened, what's taking place this year in terms of trying to make it a level playing field as far as the cars? And is this the first race they're doing it?
Yes. Now, this Busch Clash is done on a quarter-mile track. So, basically, you know, the car in the back is going to be a half a lap, you know, ready to go down a half a lap behind the leader when the green flag falls. But not only that, the shortest track they've ever run on in the modern age, but it is this is the first time they've brought the Gen 7, or they call it the next gen car, out in NASCAR. And it is an entirely new car. There's nothing the same. They've carried nothing over from the Gen 6 car that they ran last year in NASCAR. So these guys don't know anything about the car. They know very little about the setups of the car. There's no notebook of what they did last year or anything. So that in itself is going to make the thing very interesting, I think, to say the least.
You know, thanks to you, I am watching more news on NASCAR. I think I need to be at least able to ask you one or two questions and get the hell out of the way. But as you said, you think this is just going to be a debacle, right?
Yeah, I foresee it being one.
Well, he's a simpleton like me. First of all, first time they've done it, a small track like that, this is going to be something else. If you like crashes, it's going to be fun to watch, but it'll last forever, won't it?
Well, you would figure it would. You know, it's going to be interesting. There is a NASCAR runs at a place called Bowman Gray Stadium in South Carolina, and their Wheel and Modified series is another series that's not the NASCAR we see on TV. That in itself is fun. You know, these guys are mad fighting, but you know, you look in the stands and the rednecks in the stands are fighting equally as hard as the guys out in the track.
Hey, watch that rednecks. I resemble that, that statement. Some of my audience are proud of that, so come on, man.
Oh, yeah, I hear you.
And you sound like a redneck, even though you're not one.
Well, I was born in Florida, so yeah. But anyway, there's one caveat for the race at the Coliseum. That'll be a little different than Bowman Gray. Instead of the folks fist fighting in the stadiums, the folks will be fist fighting down on the track when they get mad with each other, the drivers. And you look in the trap and up into the stands, and the big difference is they'll probably have gunfights up there versus the fist fights like you have at other tracks.
Well, you might have to, you need to get out there and put on your law enforcement gear.
Put my body armor on.
Hey, real quickly. Hey, we're going to go to a hard break, folks, here on the Tan Talk Family Stations. We'll be back. No.